Hi, everyone. It's me, Katie Couric. You know, if you've been following me on social media, you know I love to cook, or at least try, especially alongside some of my favorite chefs and foodies, like Benny Blanco, Jake Cohen, Lighty Hoik, Allison Roman, and Ina Garten. So I started a free newsletter called Good Taste to share recipes, tips, and kitchen must-haves. Just sign up at katiecouric.com/goodtaste. That's KATIECOURIC.com/goodtaste. I promise your taste buds will be happy you did.
This is Michael Rappaport, and I have been professionally podcasting for 10 years. The podcast game has changed so much, and if you're looking for the most disruptive podcast in the world, then subscribe to the I Am Rappaport Stereo Podcast today. We're talking sports, politics, pop culture, entertainment, and anything that catches my attention. Listen to the I Am Rappaport Stereo Podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Laurie Santos, host of the Happiness Lab podcast. As the U.S. elections approach, it can feel like we're angrier and more divided than ever.
Please stick to policy. Don't get personal.
But in a new, hopeful season of my podcast, I'll share what the science really shows, that we're surprisingly more united than most people think.
We all know something is wrong in our culture, in our politics, and that we need to do better and that we can do better.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, I'm Bruce Bozzi. On my podcast, Table for Two, we have unforgettable lunch after unforgettable lunch with the best guest you could possibly ask for. People like David Duchovny, Jeff Goldblum, and Kristen Wiig.
We're doing all the dessert.
We'll just skip right to it.
Our second season is airing right now, so you can catch up on our conversations that are intimate and often hilarious. Listen to Table for Two with Bruce Bozzi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun.
In our second hour.
It's the second hour. Aren't you excited? You should be excited. You know why? Because we have Medal of Honor Monday coming up in like 5 seconds. Maybe longer than that, but I don't do very accurate things. We have Brandon Darby coming up 30 minutes from now. We have email roundup. I have devastating news about the economy. That's not going to be very much fun. We still have great news from the corporate world. We're going to have a blast, man. But before we get to that, we have to do something. Every single Monday, we do Medal of Honor Monday. Now, longtime listeners of the show know this well. I realize we have a bunch of new listeners, so allow me to explain. Whenever they give out a Medal of Honor, whenever someone earns a Medal of Honor, there is a citation that goes with it. And the citation, it's simply a piece of paper that explains what the person did. That's all it is. And every single person who's ever won the Medal of Honor, or earned the Medal of Honor, I should say, everyone who's ever earned the Medal of Honor has gotten one of these citations. We read one every Monday. There's nothing special or unique about this. You can do it. They're all available online. They're all available free. If you want to do this with your kids, if you're a teacher, you want to do it with your class, this is a good way to remember these men and remember their deeds, because otherwise they're forgotten. It's a good way to remind young people, these are the kind of people you want to be. I've done this one I'm about to do before. It was a long time ago. It's a jaw-dropping Medal of Honor citation. But we got an email recommendation for it, and we love those. If you have one, you know, one you love, or a family member or friend or something like that, and you want one read, you can email recommendations. We might get to it. We might not, but we try to. This one's, the email said, Mr. Kelly, for next Monday's Medal of Honor citation, that was last Monday, I recommend the citation for Roy Benavidez. He earned his Medal of Honor for actions on May 2nd, 1968. By the way, this is his anniversary of the day he earned this thing. Mr. Benavidez had lots of testosterone going into combat after attending mass, armed with only a knife, and spit on a doctor trying to zip up a body bag, believing Tango Mike was dead. Mr. Benavidez was from Texas. His daughter has a social media presence. I didn't know that. A true American hero. I strongly recommend it for Monday. And I have read this one before. And let me just tell you something.
buckle up because we're all about to go for a ride.
Ready, aim,
fire. Honoring those who went above and beyond. It's Medal of Honor Monday.
This was May 2nd, 1968, in case you're wondering. Yes, that's 54 years ago today. Today, how cool was that? Master Sergeant Roy P. Benavidez, United States Army, who distinguished himself by a series of daring and extremely valorous actions on the 2nd of May, 1968, while assigned to Detachment B-56, 5th Special Forces Group, 1st Special Forces, Republic of Vietnam. Those are Green Berets, by the way. On the morning of the 2nd of May, 1968, a 12-man Special Forces reconnaissance team was inserted by helicopters into a dense jungle in the area west of Loc Ninh, Vietnam, to gather intelligence information about confirmed large-scale enemy activity. This area was controlled and routinely patrolled by the North Vietnamese Army. After a short period of time on the ground, the team met with heavy enemy resistance and requested emergency extraction. Three helicopters attempted extraction but were unable to land due to intense enemy small arms and anti-aircraft fire. Sergeant Benavidez was at the forward operating base in Loc Ninh monitoring the operation by radio when these helicopters returned to offload wounded crew members and to assess aircraft damage. Sergeant Benavidez voluntarily boarded a returning aircraft to assist in another extraction attempt. Realizing that all the team members were either dead or wounded and unable to move to the pickup zone, he directed the aircraft to a nearby clearing while he jumped from the hovering helicopter and ran approximately 75 meters under withering small arms fire to the crippled team. Prior to reaching the team's position, he was wounded in his right leg, face, and head. Despite these painful injuries, he took charge, repositioning the team members and directing their fire to facilitate the landing of the extraction aircraft and loading of the wounded and dead team members. I'm not near done, by the way. Just sit there. I'm not near done. He then threw smoke canisters to direct the aircraft to the team's position. Despite his severe wounds and under intense enemy fire, he carried and dragged half of the wounded team members to the awaiting aircraft. He then provided protective fire by running alongside the aircraft as it moved to pick up the remaining team members. As the enemy's fire intensified, he hurried to recover the body and classified documents on the dead team leader. When he reached the leader's body, Sergeant Benavidez was severely wounded by small arms fire in the abdomen and grenade fragments in his back. At nearly the same moment, the aircraft pilot was mortally wounded and his helicopter crashed. Although in extremely critical condition due to his multiple wounds, Sergeant Benavidez secured the classified documents and made his way back to the wreckage where he aided the wounded out of the overturned aircraft and gathered the stunned survivors into a defensive perimeter. Under increasing enemy automatic weapons fire and grenade fire, he moved around the perimeter, distributing water and ammunition to his weary men, reinstilling in them a will to live and fight. Facing a buildup of enemy opposition with a beleaguered team, Sergeant Benavidez mustered his strength, began calling in tactical airstrikes, and directed the fire from supporting gunships to suppress the enemy's fire, and so permitted another extraction attempt. He was wounded again in his thigh by small arms fire while administering first aid to a wounded team member just before another extraction helicopter was able to land. His indomitable spirit kept him going as he began to ferry his comrades to the craft. On his second trip with the wounded, he was clubbed from additional wounds to his head and arms before killing his adversary. He then continued under devastating fire to carry the wounded to the helicopter. Upon reaching the aircraft, he spotted and killed two enemy soldiers who were rushing the craft from an angle that prevented the aircraft door gunner from firing upon them. With little strength remaining, he made one last trip to the perimeter to ensure all classified material had been collected or destroyed and to bring in the remaining wounded. Only then, in extremely serious condition from numerous wounds and loss of blood, did he allow himself to be pulled into the extraction aircraft. Sergeant Benavidez's gallant choice to join voluntarily his comrades who were in critical straits, to expose himself constantly to withering enemy fire, and his refusal to be stopped despite numerous severe wounds saved the lives of at least 8 men. His fearless personal leadership, tenacious devotion to duty, and extremely valorous actions in the face of overwhelming odds were in keeping with the highest traditions of military service and reflect great credit upon him and the United States Army. Now that is a Medal of Honor citation. By the way, I've never met the man. I don't know the man. A Texan, and I have talked to people who have met the man. I think he may have passed on now. God rest his soul. He did. He passed on in 98. So I talked to people who had met him and spent time with him. The most humble, down-to-earth, coolest guy around. And now you know why we read a Medal of Honor citation every single Monday. And remember this. Remember, that's who we're supposed to be. Remember, culture, I don't know why people struggle to define it. Culture is very easy to define. Your society, what does it incentivize? What does it disincentivize? If you have a society that incentivizes something, you're going to get more of that something. If you disincentivize something, you're going to get less of that something. Why do you think everything's so rotted now? Why do you think I'm so loud about the rot in corporate America? Next to the education system, it's the most devastating thing the communists have ever took over because corporate America has such a huge platform. You buy their products. You buy their services. You sit down to watch a television show and they're broadcasting their views to you inside of your living room. Corporate America has billions and billions and billions of dollars. And if they choose to use that money to destroy your values, to destroy your culture, to incentivize bad things, well, you're in very, very deep trouble. We've allowed that to happen actually in this country, and we've got to put a stop to it. And I think maybe we have started to put a stop to it. I have good news on that front when it comes to the decommunization. Is that a word, Chris? I don't know. Look, Chris, all I know is...
it's not free.
Freedom isn't free. That's all I know. Speaking of corporate America, before we get to the good news, let's get to some more good news before we get to that good news. Let's talk to you about your betting. We talk about putting our money where our morals are all the time, and we talk about these disgusting corporations out there. Well, MyPillow has been out there leading the charge on the things you believe for a long time. For a long time. You see, when it was not popular, when it was getting Mike Lindell thrown out of the big box betting stores, he still didn't shut up. He still didn't back down. Don't you think that's the kind of corporation we should be backing? He spends his money pushing what you believe. And he has Giza Dream Sheets for sale right now for 60% off, 60. You can get his amazing, gosh, they're the best sheets in the world. You can get them for as low as $39.99. You have to go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener specials and get Giza Dream Sheets for as low as $39.99. MyPillow.com, promo code Jesse.
Fighting for your freedom every day.
USA! USA!
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, and remember, you can email whatever you want, your love, your hate, your death threats, all are welcome to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. If you missed any part of the show, including Medal of Honor Monday, which was sweet, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Google, Spotify, and iTunes. On iTunes, don't forget to leave a 5-star rating and a review talking about how handsome I am, Chris. What? Chris, I did see we got some love for the old Frito Bandito.
Ay, 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 ay. I am the Frito Bandito. Hey, I like Fritos corn chips. I love them, I do. I want Fritos corn chips. I'll get...
You know what? That's a good point, Chris. Who doesn't love him? I don't think we've ever heard a negative word about it. I mean, it's only a matter of time before we get a cease and desist on that whole thing. But look, the day that comes... we're still going to celebrate. We're still going to celebrate the time we got to spend together. Oh, I promised I told you how I was going to get in trouble or how I got in trouble. So I have a TV show, you know, it's on the First TV. And actually we have a really cool special out right now about Che Guevara. You have to go to thefirsttv.com/support and sign up to be a supporter, and you can go watch the TV show about Che. Now, listen to me. The First is awesome. Premier is the same way, and they let me say whatever I want. Well, The First is a digital TV network, so they make their money on digital, YouTube, Rumble, things like that. I got the whole network suspended again. I got them again. Oh, yeah. I checked in with corporate after I got us suspended, and I found out I am by far the leader on the network in getting them suspended. To their credit, I kind of did the, hey, boss, my bad. And they said, beep them. You keep doing you. So they let me say whatever I want. I mean, you hear the things that the premier lets me say here, right? I'm allowed to say whatever I want, and that's nice. You want to hear what got me suspended? You want to hear, hey, YouTube, you want to hear how sorry I am? Here's how sorry I am. I'll play the whole TV clip on national radio. Up yours.
There's something called Voter GA in Fulton County. Here's just a little video.
So there are 17,000 votes in the Fulton County certified results right now that for which we have no ballot images to support those votes. So the question is, why are they there and how did they get there? The impact of this alone means that there are 13,303 extra Biden votes and 4,279 extra Trump votes that cannot be substantiated.
I'm going to let this keep going, but I don't know about you. That sounds pretty bad, right? Can't be substantiated?
All 374,128 in-person ballot images from the 524,000 that Fulton certified, they're all missing. There were 524,000 votes cast in Fulton County. Only 16,000 of them can be authenticated.
Okay, Liz, that doesn't sound good.
That was Liz Harrington. We're going to cut it off, mainly because I really prefer my voice over anyone else's. No, I'm kidding, but that was the one that got me kicked off. I'm not sorry. We're not going to stop talking about election integrity. I don't care what you believe about how much cheating there was. There was cheating, and people's votes matter. That's a critical part of living in a free society. And if they think their votes don't matter, somebody better address that. So we're going to keep talking about it. All right, before I get to the corporation thing, I do have to do something. Somebody emailed the show, and Sergeant Doug Kuntz, probably have never heard the name, today is the 30-year anniversary of his passing. He was killed in Mobile, Alabama. He was a police officer. He was a former Marine Corps infantry veteran of the Vietnam War. And the guy asked if we would play taps for Sergeant Doug Kuntz. And the answer to that is, you're daggone right we will. Semper Fi, my brother. I always hated that. It always sucks when a cop dies in the line of duty anyway. I mean, that universally sucks. But I always hated that when it's a veteran who survived a war. Marine Corps infantry in Vietnam was no joke. Those guys got put through the ringer, lived through Vietnam and the Marines, and get back and get killed by some scumbag in Alabama. That sucks. Mobile, by the way, Chris, I know you're never going to leave the state of Texas because you're a huge loser. Mobile, Alabama, one of the more underrated cities in the country. Mobile's awesome. Really, Alabama in general is awesome. Nobody thinks about Alabama. Don't hold your hand up to me. Alabama's sweet. Birmingham, Alabama, maybe the most underrated city in the country. Oh gosh, you Texans. I understand you prefer Texas. I understand that, but there still are other states. You know what? Forget it, Chris. Forget it. Jesse, you're someone I sort of respect. So perhaps you can offer some advice. Like you, I have a sharp mind in community college credits. And he says, Orange Coast College Bowling Champion, 1996. I love this guy. However, I find the lack of entry points into the culture wars to be infuriating. How do I get into the fight? He said, sincerely, random guy. All right, I have a couple things for this because I do get this a lot. And I understand why people say this and why people think this. When you look at the level of rot around us right now, it's easy to feel like there's so much rot, I can't do anything about it. And when you look at people who maybe have a big platform, and so you view them as kind of being leaders on this stuff, you think to yourself, well, I like that. That's good. I want to do that. Like Tucker Carlson's a great example. Biggest show on TV. New York Times just blasted him. But people look at what Tucker does and they say, I want to do that. You're not Tucker Carlson. You don't have to be Tucker Carlson. But guess what? I know this sounds crazy. Tucker Carlson doesn't have as much influence on your friends and family circle as you do. That's a fact. You don't have to conquer the world. You don't have to take down Nike and Disney. Just try to work on family and friends. And look, that one crazy cousin who you finally wake up to reality and bring them over, you don't know. That person might end up being president one day. Or maybe we'll have a kid who's president one day and lead us out of this daggone mess. All right. I forgot to get to the corporate thing because I got distracted. I'm going to get to that after Brandon Darby. Brandon Darby's coming on next. We're going to talk about cartels, and I'm going to ask him point blank, do we have American politicians who are compromised? Hang on. Here come the rooster.
I'm Dr. Laurie Santos, host of the Happiness Lab podcast. As the U.S. elections approach, it can feel like we're angrier and more divided than ever.
Please stick to policy. Don't get personal.
But in a new, hopeful season of my podcast, I'll share what the science really shows, that we're surprisingly more united than most people think.
We all know something is wrong in our culture, in our politics, and that we need to do better and that we can do better.
With the help of Stanford psychologist Jamil Zaki.
It's really tragic. If cynicism were a pill, it'd be a poison.
We'll see that our fellow humans, even those we disagree with, are more generous than we assume.
My assumption, my feeling, my hunch is that a lot of us are actually looking for a way to disagree and still be in relationships with each other.
All that on the Happiness Lab. Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey everyone, this is Jimmy O'Brien from John Boy Media. I want to quickly tell you about my podcast. It's called Jimmy's Three Things. Episodes come out every Tuesday, and for about 30 minutes, I dive into three topics in Major League Baseball that I am interested in. Breaking stories, trends, stats, weird stuff. Sometimes I make up my own stats. Sometimes I do a lot of research, and it ends up, I was wrong the whole time. So that's something you can get in on. Use Jimmy's Three Things podcast to stay up to date on Major League Baseball and to make you just a smidge smarter than your friend who's a baseball fan. You listen to me and then you go tell him, hey, I know this and you don't. So I make you smarter than your friends. That's what Jimmy's Three Things is all about. Listen to Jimmy's Three Things on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. You could also find it on the Talkin' Baseball YouTube channel, and new episodes drop every Tuesday.
Hey everyone, Jake Storielli here from John Boy Media. I want to tell you about my podcast, Wake and Jake. It's your go-to spot for anything and everything sports. Baseball, football, basketball, hockey, golf, college, whatever's hot in the street, we're talking about it on Wake and Jake. So if you're a diehard fan or looking for the latest buzz, we've got you covered. No matter your favorite sport, we're breaking it down with the passion that'll make you feel like you're in the stands with us. Plus, we've got a bunch of guests, Foolish Bailey, Jolly Olive, Chris Rose, and more. Mock drafts, rankings, whatever you want. It's the sports world, and come on and join our friends in the Wake and Jake family. You will not regret it. So, new episodes Monday and Wednesday. You can watch along on the Wake and Jake YouTube channel or listen to Wake and Jake on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We think of Franklin as the doddering dude flying a kite in the rain, but those experiments are the most important scientific discoveries of the time.
I'm Evan Ratliff.
Last season, we tackled the ingenuity of Elon Musk with biographer Walter Isaacson. This time, we're diving into the story of Benjamin Franklin, another genius who's desperate to be dusted off from history.
His media empire makes him the most successful self-made business person in America. I mean, he was never early to bed and early to rise type person. He's enormously famous. Women start wearing their hair in what was called the coiffure a la Franklin.
And who's more relevant now than ever.
The only other person who could have possibly been the first president would have been Benjamin Franklin. But he's too old and wants Washington to do it.
Listen to On Benjamin Franklin with Walter Isaacson on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, and joining me now is my friend Brandon Darby, of course, of the Breitbart, great Breitbart, Brandon Darby, Breitbart Cartel Chronicles. If you want to know about cartels, this guy's forgotten more about them than, frankly, anyone I've ever talked to in my life. Should have won a Pulitzer by now. Brandon, before we get to cartels and the border and whatnot like we always do, I actually think your take would be fascinating on the thinking behind creating some sort of ministry of truth at a time when you're already unpopular. Do they not realize everything they do makes them less popular?
I don't think they're capable of seeing that. And I really do try not to be political. But, I mean, this is a clown show. I mean, this is really a clown show. And I don't think these guys are capable of seeing it. It's like trying to deal with a district attorney in San Francisco or something, and trying to explain why the crime rate is going up. And they're so ideologically bent that they just can't see it. You know, they just don't see it.
All right, Brandon, let's talk about something that's shocking. I mean, Mayorkas flat out admitted already that we've allowed 826,000 illegal immigrants inside of our country. Look, whatever people feel about the illegal immigrants themselves, that's the remaking of a nation. You can't do that for 4 years. How does a nation maintain that?
Yeah, I don't think we do. I'm actually quite critical of both Republicans and Democrats on this issue. I'm very sympathetic to people who want to come here and have a better life. I'm also very sympathetic to U.S. workers who are displaced by that, who are affected by that. I'm sympathetic to angel families who have lost loved ones, to people who came here illegally multiple times. So I try to look at the entire picture and understand everyone's perspectives. But we really can't do that, right? Like, we can't. And it's not just what Democrats are doing. It's what Republicans do, too. I mean, we don't address the issue. We don't address the root cause of the issue, which is our immigration policy and our policies as a whole towards people coming across our border. We never really address the core of it. We just do stopgap measures. We do Title 42. We do this. We do that. We get Mexico to do our dirty work for us. So we don't have to, American citizens don't see our own people busting heads on the border. We get Mexico to bust heads on the border. We do that for 6 months. And I mean, we just keep doing these stopgap measures. And we've been doing it for many, 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 many decades. And, you know, we can keep doing this where Republicans get control. They don't do anything about the core issues. And Mexico and people just wait on the border in Mexico for 4 years, and they stay in camps. Democrats come in, and then the entire glut of people come into our country. And then 4 years later, we kick some of them out, but most of them, we don't let them stay. And then they stay in camps in Mexico for 4 years until the Democrats come again, and then they come in again. And we can keep doing this over and over and over and over again ad nauseum. Which is what we're doing, but nothing's really changing.
Okay, so what would change if we had people who actually loved the country and actually wanted to change it? How would they go about changing it? And again, we're talking to Brandon Darby of the Cartel Chronicles, Breitbart. How would we change it for the better? How do we change the fact we're the wealthiest country in the world, we border some very poor countries, and inevitably they're going to come?
Yeah, well, we're just going to have to acknowledge the reality. So the reality is we're not going to have a North Korea-style border with landmines. We're never going to do that. So people are going to come. The reality is that the fixes for Central America and for other nations and Mexico are very, very, very long fixes that take a long time. And we're not doing those things right now that are necessary to get that done. So that's not happening. So the realities are that people are going to come. And the realities are that every 4 years, we're going to allow them to come, even if they waited up and built up. So what we probably need to do is we need to start talking about worker programs. We need to start talking about ways to incentivize people to come, to be documented, to try to reduce the harm that plays on some facets of the American economy. And we need to start talking about ways to encourage people to go back home the way it used to be before 9/11, where people would come for a season and go back home, and we didn't have to worry about, you know, gluts of people coming and voting and what have you. That's what we probably need to, the conversation we need to start having, while we address the underlying issues in their home countries. But, you know, you can't say that. If you say that, then you're for open borders and you're, if you say anything about not allowing everyone to get citizenship and vote, you're a Nazi. And if you say anything about worker programs, then you're a liberal who wants open borders. So you can't say it right now. There's nothing, any solution anyone can come up with that's in any way recognizing the reality without getting destroyed and crushed on either side.
The cartels, are they getting stronger, more active, yes, more violent? What's going on with the cartels?
Absolutely. So Mexico is classified as a fragile state, a fragile nation. Its government does not have complete control over its territory. In fact, most of its territory, its central government does not actually have control over. Are they getting more powerful? Absolutely, they're getting more powerful. And part of that is because, again, the same people who are doing things, the same mentalities of people who are doing things like Ministry of Disinformation and that we were just talking about, those same people, those same types of mentalities that are in charge of being the district attorney in San Francisco, right, where crime gets out of control, those same mentalities are in the U.S. State Department, and they're the ones deciding how we handle Mexican cartels. They're the ones telling U.S. law enforcement and intel agencies, hey, you need to balance your law enforcement priorities and your intelligence priorities with our diplomatic concerns. So we have people, you know, thick horned rimmed wearing liberals with 27 cats in their apartment who are making the policies of how we go after cartels. We need to go after cartels, and we need to start treating cartels like the national threat, security threat that they are. We need to start treating certain members of cartels and the people who work with them the way the Mossad treats enemies of the state of Israel. That's what I think. So I think at the same time, I have a very loving approach towards migrants that minimizes the impact on U.S. economies, U.S. workers, and U.S. communities. I think we need to ruthlessly go after what is keeping Mexico from being great, which is the corruption and the drug money. It is a narco state. Let's just be honest. It's a narco state. We need to go after that. We need to deal with that, much like we dealt with Colombia, and I think that we would see some success.
Brandon, all right, finally, I hesitate to even ask it, but I'm going to ask it anyway because I'm genuinely curious. The cartels obviously are fabulously wealthy. I believe, according to you, they're the third most powerful crime syndicate in the world behind the Russians and Italians. Do we have American politicians federally who are compromised? Do you think we do?
Well, I think we absolutely do, in different ways, right? So do we have politicians along the border who are, you know, major politicians at a federal level who are taking direct money from cartels? I can't say that. Do we have politicians who are, you know, taking money from groups who are working on behalf of cartels, like Mexican politicians? Current U.S. indictments would suggest so. That we do. So you know, that's the problem with Mexico, is it's we look at it like the cartel, and the cartel is just one small part. Well, not a small part. It is one major component, but just one component of an overall network of organized crime, overall network of corruption. There's lawyers, there's politicians, there's financiers and bankers, and we need to go after those people as well. We need to treat them like, hey, you're working with this drug cartel. It has to cost more to work with the drug cartel than it does not to.
Yeah.
And we have to make it cost more. And if we don't do that, as unpleasant as that is, we're not going to solve this problem. And our communities, our loved ones are going to keep dying of fentanyl overdoses. We're going to continue to have the problems that we have. We're going to continue to spend hundreds of millions of dollars per year on things that we really shouldn't be spending it on the border if we're just going to let them stay anyways. This is the kind of problems that we have. And we're, no one really has the cojones to step up and say, wait a minute, here's the deal, man. If you're pumping poison into our communities, we're going to get you. If we can't get you because you're paying Mexican politicians, we're going to get somebody to get you one way or another, whether it's, you know, your dead body on the street or you in a U.S. prison cell, you will be stopped if you do this to our country. If we get that attitude while at the same, and which is hard to do politically, but you could pull it off if you did a workers program, if you did a number of other things. If we did that, we would solve the problem ultimately. But if we don't do that, we're not going to solve the problem. Mexico is going to continue to have a stratified economy. Very few people in Mexico are getting resources while the majority don't. And we're going to continue to have these problems, not to mention the fact that now China is competing with us for dominance in Mexico. You know, who got Mexico's communications infrastructure contract? Was it the United States or was it Huawei from China? It was Huawei. Yeah. Mexico is beginning to compete with us in Mexico, much like we used to compete with NATO against Russia in Eastern Europe. Yep. You know, that's what they're doing, and that's where we are. So ultimately, we're going to have to address it, but we lack the cojones, and we have half of our populace who, you know, who blame cops for shooting people armed with a knife, and they say things like, well, the cop, you know, escalated it and pulled out a gun when that person just had a machete. And it's like, okay, you moron.
Brandon Darby
is what we're dealing with.
I'm sorry. I am up against the break, my brother. That was awesome. Brandon Darby, Cartel Chronicles. Go read all his stuff. I appreciate you, my brother.
Thank you.
Speaking of shooting, your weapon, are you good with it? Be honest. You have your weapon. That's good. I'm glad. That's every American's right. I'm glad you've chosen to protect yourself. Can you hit something with it? Can you hit something with it with both hands? Get a Mantis X system. Can you hit something with it kneeling down? Can you hit something with it laying down? Can you hit something? You understand we have to train with our weapons, and Mantis X allows us to train with our weapons in our home. They'll deliver it right to your door. You attach it to your weapon, whatever your weapon is, and you dry fire practice with your weapon inside the comfort of your home. You don't have to drive to the range and get all sweaty. You don't have to spend $10,000 on ammunition because that's what it costs now. Get a Mantis X system. They'll put you through drills. They'll give you guidance. Go to MantisX.com. That's MantisX.com. It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Before we get to this good news about the corporations, let's check in on see how we're doing at the President of the United States of America's level.
Now, there have not been many senators from Delaware. It's a small state. As a matter of fact, there's never been one.
There hasn't ever been a senator from Delaware. That's great work. All right, forget. We're going to get to some good news, and I'll get to some emails. You know what? I'm in such a good mood. I'll take phone calls. Don't let that think we're going to do small talk tonight just because I'm in a good mood. Remember, hi, how are you? Love the show. Boop, you're just getting the hook. You're going to get the... So you can call if you want. 877-377-4373. 877-377-4373. No small talk. Get right to the point. Don't be boring. Let's talk about something interesting. This is from the Wall Street Journal. Disney's clash with Florida has CEOs on the alert. And this is the story. Essentially, America's CEOs are all of a sudden scared, having to worry. About what? Well, America's CEOs for the longest time have enjoyed luxuriating in a world where only the left would make them feel pain. If you're the CEO of whatever, some Jesse's Cookies, the CEO of Jesse's Cookies for the longest time, whether or not he's a card-carrying communist or not, for the longest time, the only time he really had to worry was if he if he offended the left in some way. Hey, are our cookies gay enough? I don't want to get yelled at. That's how it's gone forever. Now, because of Florida, and we ought to send them all a thank you letter. Remember, it's not just Heavy D, the legislature, everybody. Because Florida decide to fire a massive shot. See that, Chris? I worked the cannon shot into a conversation. Because Florida decided to fire a massive shot across the bow, what it did was it put every CEO in America on notice. Times are changing. The days where you can sit around your boardroom and make the business decision to only worry about offending the left, those days are over. If you want to push this wretched filth on our kids, we will use the power of state governments to come for you.
So the conversation I talked about in my last video is a lot like a lot of the conversations I have about queerness and transness with my kids. Because I work in a conservative area and I'm an out non-binary trans teacher, I have to tread very lightly for fear of losing my job. And so a lot of times I put it in terms of hypotheticals with the kids. I say, oh, some people like to use this. When I talk about my title, Mix, I say, oh, it's just a third alternative to Mr. Ms. that some people like to use. I let them kind of draw their own conclusions when it comes back to me, while also keeping it general enough to not bring the heat on myself.
They're after your kids. And if you corporations out there, Disney or otherwise, you want to help them come after our kids, we will come after you. All right, 877-377-4373. Remember, get to the point. Don't be boring. Oh, and hold on. There's a bonus. You get bonus points. You may even get a bonus.
You know, freedom is not free.
You may get a bonus one of those if you call in on your Pure Talk phone. Because speaking of corporations, one of the main ways, in fact, the main way you can stick it to these companies, money. We just talked about Disney. They've lost $41 billion in value since all this began. They just fired one of their top corporate executives because of it. Hurt these people in the pocketbook. You're sending money every month to Verizon, T-Mobile, and AT&T. Why? Pure Talk is on the same 5G network. They'll save you a fortune, and they actually like you. They like America. They think this country's pretty stinking great. They'll never dump on your values. From your cell phone, dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly, and you'll save an additional 50% off your first month. It takes less than 10 minutes. #250, say Jesse Kelly. All right, I'll get to your phone calls here in a second. Dear Crayon Connoisseur, you know, that's not very nice. You mentioned that you have to wear a tuxedo to Dinesh D'Souza's upcoming movie premiere because you're a huge, important celebrity. That is true. Remember, I'm not going to be here Wednesday and Thursday. I have to go fly to Florida for a movie premiere. I know that sounds really fancy and nice. Believe me, I know it does. As Chris and Michael would tell you if I let them have a microphone, nobody's dreading this more than me. Nobody. Okay, the movie, I think the movie is important. The movie's 2,000 Mules. It's an important movie about election fraud. They asked me to come, so I'm going to come and I'm going to support it because I believe in the cause. These fancy schmancy events are not my thing. Everyone knows it. All my friends are making fun of me. Hey, Jesse, they're not going to serve Red Lobster there. Okay, I like what I like. All right, whatever. Oh, one of my buddies, my buddy Luis, did have a good idea yesterday. We were grilling out some meat and he said, you're so stressed about the movie premiere? Show up with a big old tall boy, a Bud Heavy's on the and walk the red carpet with it. It'd be hilarious. And he's right. It would be. Anyway, moving on. The rest of the email. You're probably already on top of this, but have you considered that this is the perfect opportunity to wear either the blue or orange tuxedo from Dumb and Dumber? He says, you are a peacock, sir. Spread your wings and fly. Says, I can say his name. His name is Phil. One, Phil, that's an awesome idea. Two, I'm bringing the wife along, and she's never going to go for that. She's never going to go for that. I would want to. It would be hilarious. All right, I will finally get to these calls. 877-377-4373. Easy for me to say. Plus, little illegal immigration harsh talk. Hang on.
Hi, everyone. It's me, Katie Couric. You know, if you've been following me on social media, you know I love to cook, or at least try, especially alongside some of my favorite chefs and foodies, like Benny Blanco, Jake Cohen, Lighty Hoik, Allison Roman, and Ina Garten. So I started a free newsletter called Good Taste to share recipes, tips, and kitchen must-haves. Just sign up at katiecouric.com/goodtaste. That's KATIECOURIC.com/goodtaste. I promise your taste buds will be happy you did.
This is Michael Rappaport, and I have been professionally podcasting for 10 years. The podcast game has changed so much, and if you're looking for the most disruptive podcast in the world, then subscribe to the I Am Rappaport Stereo Podcast today. We're talking sports, politics, pop culture, entertainment, and anything that catches my attention. Listen to the I Am Rappaport Stereo Podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Laurie Santos, host of the Happiness Lab podcast. As the U.S. elections approach, it can feel like we're angrier and more divided than ever.
Please stick to policy. Don't get personal.
But in a new, hopeful season of my podcast, I'll share what the science really shows, that we're surprisingly more united than most people think.
We all know something is wrong in our culture, in our politics, and that we need to do better and that we can do better.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, I'm Bruce Bazzi. On my podcast, Table for Two, we have unforgettable lunch after unforgettable lunch with the best guest you could possibly ask for. People like David Duchovny, Jeff Goldblum, and Kristen Wiig.
We're doing all the dessert.
We're doing all the dessert. We'll just skip right to it.
Our second season is airing right now, so you can catch up on our conversations that are intimate and often hilarious. Listen to Table for Two with Bruce Bazzi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.